Good morning. My name is Herman Pope. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have a message for you from the Word of God. And I'm happy to tell you, if you don't already know, that this is the icing on the cake, which I can't eat. Our Bible lesson this morning, the prayers, the Lord's Supper, all of it has flowed in a beautiful stream from God. I'm very grateful this morning to be with you, to be able to talk to you, and I have a lot to say in a short amount of time. But I've had a lot of practice over the years, so we'll see how it works out. I have some lessons this morning from life itself. Now, if you were here July the 10th, 2011, and you have an eidetic memory, you know exactly what I said then, but that's not what I'm going to say now. Now, if you have hyperthymesia, then you can't forget, but then probably not too many of you have that. So we will work together to see the wonderful grace and glory of God. But I want to talk to you about some things in life as they relate to us. You see, we study about Jesus. We study about others, but there are things going on around us that emphasize what we ought to be. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Let me tell you three things about real life. Number one, there's an 8-year-old boy walking through a busy air terminal. He is on crutches because he has a broken leg. In his right hand, he is clutching, along with this crutch, a basket with the things that have to go through to get him on the plane. And if you've ever been where he was, you know that people will run over you. They will knock you down. Someone inadvertently hit him, knocked him off his crutches, and his things went scattering across the floor. A man stopped, lifted him up, put him on his crutches, picked up his things and put them in the basket, and put it back in his hand. He said, "Are you all right, son?" And he said, "Yes, sir." And the man hurried on his way like everybody else. And as he got a little distance from the boy said, "Hey, mister." And the man stopped and he said, "Yes." He said, "Are you Jesus?" And the man turned and said, "No, son, I'm not Jesus." You know what the little boy said? He said, "Then you must be his very best friend." Now, when's the last time someone mistook you for Jesus? They probably didn't tell you out loud. I have a favorite preacher in this world. His name is Joe Barnett. I haven't heard him in years. But a number of years ago, I was at Abilene Christian University when Joe was introduced as one of the speakers to several thousand people. And the person who introduced him did a great job. lots of things that were true and that were great. Joe got up to speak to us, and he said, "Well, that sounded real good. But let me tell you how it really is." Now, at the time, Joe Barnett was preaching for the Broadway Church in Lubbock, Texas, and he spoke every week to approximately 2,000 people. He said, "I was in my office one morning, and the man who takes care of our building rushed into my office and said, 'Brother Barnett, come with me, I want to show you something.' He said he took me to the men's restroom, and there was a note posted on the hand dryer. And it said, 'For a message from our beloved minister, push the button.'" He said, "Now that's how it really is." We talk about surrendering to the Lord, giving Him all that we have. And believe me, I understand that it's a lifetime process. One of the greatest servants that God ever had was Marshall Keeble. And you might have heard him say this. I didn't, but I know he said it. I've had too many people print it and tell me. In his own language, Keeble said, "We is what we is. And when we gets old, we gets iser." Now everybody understands that. And it is true. It is true. If you don't like who you are, you need to get with it and change into who you really want to be. And so today, for a few minutes, I'd like to tell you that God has said for each of us, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, He says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified." One translation has failed the test. If you lived back when you had an old King James Bible, it says, "Unless you're a reprobate." You can look that up when you get home. It's still in the dictionary. Paul says about himself in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." It's so important for us to learn how to understand who we are. Now, I know that there are those in the world of counseling who say, "You really can't figure out who you are or what you need to do. You need to come to me and let me tell you who you are and what you ought to do." I beg to differ, please. I understand the Word of God, and I understand that God is saying through Paul, "Examine yourself." But if you use the right tools, you can examine yourself. It's a valid thing that we can do to examine ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there's no telling how mine and our great operator back there on the screen is going to differ. He always has a wonderful lesson, and I usually don't see it because I'm looking at you to see if you've fallen asleep or if you're listening. But Tom does a wonderful job, and I appreciate his helping us with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Remember the passage that Noah read to us? Let this mind be in you. Let Christ's mind be in you. Do you think like Jesus? And since Noah did such a good job of reading that, I'll take it out of the time schedule here. But just remember what Jesus did, who Jesus is, and what He did for us, and endeavor to think like He thinks. Now, there's some things that really make us struggle in life. And I'd like to just spend a moment or two, and I want to stop here. You can probably hear that there's still a little problem with my voice. And I'm asking you, every one of you, every day, to pray for David that he will not have his vocal cords affected by this surgery. I know that God can do that. I've had surgery more times than I like to think now. But every time that I undergo anesthesia, and I had my throat cut too, but all of that affects the voice. And mine's coming back, and I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep working with it. But if it bugs you, then all I can do is say, pray for me, and you will, and you do. But I want to point out that what we need to do is to realize that it's about us. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Do not judge," and the word judge there is condemn, "or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And he goes on to say, why are you looking at the speck in your brother's eye and there's a log in your eye? First, get the log out of your eye, and then you'll be able to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So realize that it is about us. I don't need to carry around a burden of someone who has done terrible things to me. If I took the next 10 minutes, which I won't, well, if I took the next 10 minutes and told you what all bad that's happened to me in my life, you'd leave here very depressed. But I'm not doing that. Introspection is what we do when we look inside ourselves. The definition is to look into, examine the interior of, to examine and analyze one's own thoughts and emotion. Practice self-examination. The act of looking within, the contemplation of one's own mental processes and emotional states, self-examination. You can do it, and it's important. And one reason that I try to present this lesson in one way or another every year, wherever I have the opportunity, is because I think we need to stop and examine ourselves. Look inside. Use God's mirror. One of the passages that I love so very much is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul said, "But we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What do you see? I went into the restroom the other day at the house. Nobody laughed, but me. And I went into the restroom and I came back out and I said, "Don't go in there." I went in there and there was an old man in there. I saw him. "So don't go in there for a while." What do you see when you look in the mirror? We just made another trip to Mississippi. And every time we go down in that area, that's where my mother and father lived. And every time I go and go visit the brethren, some wonderful person will come out and say, "You look more like Milton Pope every day." One lady said that to me one time, and I said, "I'm sorry, I can't help that." When she recovered, she broke out laughing, and she said, "I wasn't ready for that." But, who are you? What do you look like? Is somebody going to holler at you, "Hey, mister, are you Jesus?" It's important for us to have the mind of Christ. It's important, as we studied this morning in that Bible class, that the things we do make us look like Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 34, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup," the Lord's Supper, "of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself," not the person sitting next to him or her, "but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We need to know what we're doing. He goes on to say in the 11th chapter, verses 27 to 34, which I will paraphrase and not read, that there are many people who are sick. Some are already dead. They're sitting in a pew, but they're dead because they have failed to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, "Judge yourselves." Isn't it amazing how many times that there's the absence of, "Look at your neighbor. If he's not doing what he should, grab him by the shoulders and shake the stuffing out of him and tell him, straighten up." That's a lot more tempting than saying to yourself, "I need to change this." My friends, you can change. There are so many more passages that I would like to share with you. But I think this will be enough for you to understand at the culmination of our study this morning. And if you just came in the last little bit, to know that we need to look inside ourselves. But if you don't use the right tools, the Word of God, you'll miss it. I've heard people say about others, "If I could buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, I'd be rich." Now, they don't say that about the women, of course. It's so important for us to look at God, look in God's mirror, see who you really are, examine yourself. I have a series that I use at Sunset Husband that deals with a personal spiritual relationship with God. And it has to do with that, with looking inside, looking at ourselves. Now, if you really want to be humble, find a person whom you think likes you the least and say, "Tell me what you think of me, but please sit down." Now, Lord willing, we're going to talk about this more tonight. But I've given you what I believe I needed to give you this morning to make our study in God's Word complete. Let me say in closing, I so much appreciate your prayers. I continue to need them. And I remind you again, there are two people, I pray for all those on our list. But there are two people this morning that I ask you to pray for every day. We've already announced that David is going to have surgery. Pray that God will bless him. I told him the first time I heard him, God gave him a wonderful gift. I'm not jealous of him, but I sure do wish I could sing like he can. And another person who is so important to me and to my family is Laura Shear. If you haven't met Laura, please meet her this morning and tell her that you'll be praying for her as we announce. I don't know where you are. I don't know when you've looked at yourself. Now, don't come to me and say, what do you think of me? I'm not about to make an enemy. I just thought of that. God loves you. You know that. It's important. Check to see where you are as you live for God. And if this morning you know you need to do something, you can't do it by yourself, and you need our help, you have this opportunity to let us know as we stand and sing the song David has prepared.